Some of the questions is, why is it that we don't go through the change? If we have the message, then why isn't that the body is being changed? Well, since we thought about questions and answers tonight, I answered Danny. I said, well, Danny, it's like this. I said, there is none good but God. There is but one human being that is good. That is God. And I said, since there is one that is good, I didn't have time to explain all this to Danny, and maybe I can explain it a little better to you. I have brought it out to you that sin came by one man, Adam. By one man, sin came. And all under sin because of the sins of Adam. I know someone says, but Brother Pike, it wasn't Adam. Adam wasn't the transgression, it was Eve. But that was Adam's body, and Adam was blamed with it. So then, sin covered the world by one man, Adam. So it wasn't necessary but for one person to live right to take away sin. If one person sinned and brought death upon everybody, it's only reasonable to think that all you need to do was have one man to live right, or that is that man that sinned, to come and correct his wrong. So life would be upon all people because they had life to start with, as to life upon the two that was in the garden. So when Adam came the second time, as to say the second man Adam, or the Lord came as the second man Adam, he corrected the wrongs of the first man Adam, because Adam was called the son of God before he sinned. And he was not in the transgression, but since it was the weakness of the body, this great wonderful illumination, which was Adam, the great spiritual one, the male, came searching for the female like the turtle dove calls unto its mate, and found this body which is its mate. And when the spirit found this body, then it changed this body as to the spiritual innermost one. It changed it by translating it into itself. The spirit translated the spirit of the body into itself and made it one with life and restored it, taking it from the fall. But it did not do that to the body, only in the sense that the body became the purchased possession, and the Lord Jesus, the second man Adam, became our sin as to our body, that we might become the righteousness of his body. And coming to the manger where we had fallen as through the beast, that is to say, man had fallen through the beast, picking us up as a body, he walked perfect and changed it back to the originality of sonship by passing through Moses and Elijah, or the covering cherubs, back to the tree of life, perfected it, and once he stepped into glory and had done the work for the church body, whose body ye are, members in particular, then he stepped out of that glorious light, went to Calvary, into darkness as God departed from him, and became that as to the rejected, so that we could have the light of God shining within our heart as to the day start dawning, that we might have this wonderful eternal life. So we're made the righteousness of God in Christ by faith of Jesus Christ, which faith is the righteousness of God. Being baptized into Christ, we have put on Christ. Who then shall deliver me from this body of sin, or this body of death? For there's no good thing within the flesh. So I said, Danny, I said, what we have to remember is that we don't have a performance. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, inwardly I desire to do good, but how to perform that which is good? As to my inward desire, I don't find any way to perform this in my outer man, he was saying. And I'm just breaking this down as a teacher would and putting it in words that you can understand. He said, I can't get this body to perform what I want to do on the inside. I desire the good things and the pure things and the holy things in my inner mind. He said, but I see another law in my members, the members of my body, the outer man, and it's making war against my inner mind. And it's the human senses, he could have said, that subject to the vanities of this world by means of survival, in that the creature is made subject to the vanities of this life as a cocoon to process the inner man, to mold him and one day release him from the mold, and then the mold be done away with, in that there is a natural body and a spiritual body, and this is the natural body of the mold. This is the cocoon for the butterfly. The butterfly potentiality is released from the worm or the cocoon. Still, if you notice, the butterfly still has a little body like a worm. So there is, as in the spiritual body, it means that we still are the same to the extent that we're made in the likeness of God. So what he does is change the inner nature and the spiritual part of us. Well, I said, Danny, what happens is we're translated into the kingdom by the Spirit, our spirit becoming one with Christ, and then it starts a work of transformation as it emanates from our spirit, that is Christ's spirit through our spirit, and then it begins to transformate our mind into graduality toward the diplomacy of this thing that brings us into our profession of life, as we typically speak. I said, and this is what happens. I said, and God transformates our mind till we get to the ultimatum of the change, which is the transfiguration. I said, and then the body changes. I said, but inasmuch as God had to perform the works with a human body, which is called the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the only righteous man and the only atonement, and that's all that God will accept, I said, that means that he cannot change your body under those conditions until you transformate to that Christ on the inside, as it was Paul when he was caught up into the third heaven saying, I don't know whether I was in my body or out of my body, or he said, I know of a man. So I said, this means because of that, we have to wait. I said, we transformate in mind, and it is a secret work, that is, until the time of the change of the body. I said, and the body will not be changed until the Lord steps out from heaven, because he is my performance. Paul said, how to perform that which is right, I can't find in my body. So who will deliver me from the body of this death for old wretched man that I am? And he said, I thank God that what the law could not do, in that it was weak, in that I am weak, not the law, but weak through the flesh, I am sold unto sin. And though the law is spiritual, I cannot perform it. Through this weakness, Satan has taken advantage of me. Sin has taken advantage. He deceived me and slew me. And he said, and I find the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, and the evil that I don't want to do. He said, I find that I'm overtaken in this, but this I allow not for. I said, Danny, these things that harass your mind, these things that are suggested to your mind, these allurings, I said, these enticements, all of these things, you don't make allowance for it. You kill the body. You bring it into subjection. Lest, like if I preach to you and I don't bring my body under subjection, I'll become a castaway. So I keep under my body. That is, I as an inner man, I withdraw from my body. I don't preamble in this natural mind. I don't go out into my body. I withdraw from the body, is what Paul was saying. And I'm sealed as a spiritual being on the inside. I'm interwoven with the Spirit of Christ, which is the kingdom of God. And I have nothing to do with the body. The body's dead. It's buried. It's gone by Calvary. Now I put on Christ. I've been buried in his death, and now I'm resurrected as a new man. And now that is our body sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he hath performed all the works. He is my performance. And what I could not perform in my body, he performed for me from the manger back into glory. And he finished my performance. Therefore, I'm accepted of God in the beloved. Now I'm complete in him. And now he is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and the work is finished. And so then he hath redeemed all humanity by the works of the second man, Adam, of one man living right and righteousness to all through the one man. So when the one man appears, which is the head, as to the members of this body, and that he accepts this body through foreknowledge as elect because of the redemption of the body, to the extent that the body is the purchased possession, and that from the blood that was shed in the foreknowledge of God from the foundation of the world. So then when he accepts us in that, he hath made one body complete. He hath predestinated us in Christ, which is the Word made flesh. He hath finished that work. And now hath perfected us forever by that work. The perfect man made us perfect by giving us his perfection and taking our imperfections. And then he sat at the right hand of the Father as the head of the body. And since his spirit is in us and our spirit interwoven in his spirit, and God counts our body as dead, then he looks on us as the new body, the resurrected, and though it doth not yet appear what we shall be, as to the appearance, as to what we will look like, yet we're going through the change from glory to glory, the transforming of the mind, and soon, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, when he appears, his voice is the last trump, for he shall appear with the sound of the voice of the trump of God. And the Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. At the last trump, when it comes, immediately as soon as that head comes, it indicates the birth of the child, and the membership follows, because in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the change comes, and this body changes, because as long as our performance is there, though we are hid with God in Christ, we are also in heaven. As to the spiritual man, we're already in the kingdom of God within. Our body is already in heaven, in that that is our body at the right hand of God. But in that we are still down here as to this body, then God is waiting for this spirit to make contact with that body that is at the right hand of God, is to say, Christ, the church head, who is the head of the body, which is the church. And so then when Jesus Christ appears, he will be my work. He will be my finished work. He will be my perfection. He will be my performance. And just as soon as the body hath performed that it's supposed to perform, which is Christ's work, by his appearing, it will touch base with my spirit, and immediately my spirit is already perfect through Christ, my Savior. Now then my body is his body, and as soon as he appears, then this, that I am bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, by the predestinated or the foreknowledge, will come into a reality of sight, and when it touches base with my spirit, I will be changed. Because when the performance of my works is finished, as to the body, in that it appears that I might see it, it is thus that I become this body, because that is the finished work of my life, that he hath thus finished it at Calvary, and set him there until the time to show himself unto you and unto me, to be our performance. And once that performance comes, the body will be changed. There will be nothing that can stop it, because there will not be one flaw concerning the body. The whole body will immediately change, and change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, because that is your bodily perfection. And like my Susie was talking, while we were talking, she mentioned about the collective membership. All of them has to come together, she said, Danny. Every member has to come together, which is right. See, if Jesus is the head, and if he was the fullness of the Spirit, and he yielded up the Spirit, and the Spirit went into the different people as to the members of the body by measure, then we're ordained to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man. And this is collectively speaking. You go on individually, but I'm speaking collectively. And in this, that when those come together, that the last ones come out from among the people, then they will come together. And when they do, then the head will appear, and immediately the body will be changed. And the blood will come off of the mercy seat. There'll be no more blood on the mercy seat. That will mean that there'll be no more grace to anybody. They won't be saved. They'll be lost, because the blood will be taken off of the mercy seat. Right now, the rain is on the tare and it's on the wheat. You know, if I have an understanding, now we have this on tape somewhere, and I said something about it the other night. If I have an understanding and I go to convey it to you, then I don't know how to do that, because it is an understanding. I understand, but I don't know how to get you to understand, because I have no means of getting this over to you, except I express it in thought. I have to first gender it on my brain as in thought. And the shell of those thoughts are but shells, dark shells. And the shell of that thought, and that a shell is darkness when it's got something cooped in it. And so then within the shell of the darkness, God veils himself in darkness. Understanding is veiled by intellectual thought. That is to say, understanding is within knowledge. So when the knowledge, the shell of the knowledge is broken down, as I gender the thoughts and then I express the thoughts through vocal utterance as to the wind that comes out of my body through the little vibrance of these things that God has prepared to give forth vibrations as to utterance. Once it comes through this and through the throat and through these means of expression that we have spoke of at times as to different things, of what they are, physically speaking. See, and when it comes out, then the listening ear records it over nerves. And the vibration comes as to a sound. Because if I make a sound, I make it because I utter forth. And when I do, the atoms of the air is disturbed. And then you record it. And when you record it, then you get it into your brain, work into your nerves. And then it goes down into your heart. And finally, it turns into understanding. It goes in here because it unveils itself as the shell is rent. But if I go to express this understanding, I've got to do like the little hen when she picks up a little bit here and a little bit there and an element here until she pecks and picks and puts a shell together to house the egg that's going to make the chick. So I got to put one thought up here that says, of. And I got to get another thought over here that says, they. And another thought over here that says, them. And another thought, they went here, or they come from there, or we're going over yonder. Or I got to get a collection of thoughts. I got to get a collection of knowledge, of words or thoughts, just like this book. A collection of thoughts, and then it's a printed page. And I got to collect that, and I got to get it all out of the scramble and get it together and get my understanding. I got to get it into the shell of this thing and get it in a way to project it. I've got to collectively put it together like a puzzle with its pieces and get everything into place in detail. And then I utter forth an expression. And when I do, I've collected all those thoughts and put them together. And I've conveyed that to your listening ear. See, and I said the other night when we was teaching, this is the way that God did it. God being a great light, He's a spirit, and He gave forth an utterance, and in the utterance as to a sound, as to knowledge, and it become a human body, not only a human body, but everything took on form and took on shape. And today, the world of existence is that shell of intellectual darkness, and therefore Satan had to be the god of this world, because the tree of knowledge was accredited to Satan, the knowledge of good and evil. In the knowledge of good and evil. So the tree of knowledge being there, the light of the understanding going into the shell of knowledge, and God, who was the great light, He could not, the way that He had, through the act of creation, had brought Himself forth, He could not project Himself until He had allowed this to a human being going into the tree of knowledge. And through that, then there came forth this thing of expression as light veiling Himself in darkness. And today, the rending of the veil, or the splitting of the atoms, all these kind of things, as we preach of two atoms, and Mrs. Adam and Mr. Adam, and these kind of things, and of the shell of these thoughts, to split the atom to get to the nucleus, is the understanding, which is the power, the dynamic power of God that says, decree it in your heart, and it'll come to pass. Say it, and it'll come to pass. The spoken word, or whatever, and it'll come to pass. See, and it will happen, but you've got to have the connection down here. You got to be able to make the expression with the strength of that spirit. And those words is like stones out of a slingshot. Just like that. When it hit that giant in the head from David's slingshot, being a symbol of faith in the word, down he went. The opposition is gone, and the thing or the purpose is accomplished. So in these things, and saying just a few things to you tonight in the way of exhortation, I'm trying to express to you that this is why that we need answers. This is why we ask questions. This is why we have rules and regulations. This is why we have a church order. And I'm just kind of hitting a few things real light tonight, because I have detailed a lot of this on many tapes. And I'm trying to say it in just a simple way to where you can grasp a few things without a lot of things being involved. And maybe you can kind of interpret some of the things that I'm saying. When I say that, some of you people can get it perhaps right off. Others are like babies. They don't get it right off. It's like I told Betty, I said, Betty, with a preacher, it's different from a Christian. I said, I can't just drift along and be a Christian and let everybody mind their own business and not say anything. I said, now a Christian can kind of go along and they testify here and there. I said, but with a preacher, he can't do that. I said, he has to say something. God said, you tell them. If you don't tell them, I'm going to require their blood at your hand. And when you tell them, they're not going to pay any attention to you or believe you, that is. He said, but I'm still going to require their blood at your hand if you don't tell them. So I have to tell them. He said, reprove and exhort and rebuke with all long suffering and all doctrine. So we have to do it. Therefore, we seem like meddlers. We seem like people that meddle with people's business. And we get into their businesses, and we get into their minds, and we get into their personal lives, and we get into all kinds of things. Why? Because we have to do that. That's what the prophets did. That's what the preachers did. When you get into a man's mind and you start rerouting his mind and you start trying to indoctrinate him, then that means you get in control of his life. And that's what God's after. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, don't that have to do with life and with government? It certainly does. The Bible said the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he is the word. But on the other hand, it's like I told him the other night, we don't meddle with the world. That's the land of Esau. That's their doings out there. We leave that to them. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is a spiritual thing on the inside. He told Pilate, said, my kingdom is on the inside. He didn't say it in those words, but he said, my kingdom is not of this world. That is, I am not from thence. I am from the Spirit. I go back to the Spirit. My kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. He could have said, this thing is but a shadow down here where you're at, Pilate. And these things around you are but a shadow. He did tell them in a parabolic way, and they didn't understand the mysteries. See, but it's given unto us to break the shell, to know the mysteries, so that we can get the benefits of that which comes forth, which is the energy of that life of Christ. So I said that to say this, that we are not meddling in people's affairs. We obey the laws. We follow the constraints. We do everything that's lawful and godly. And they have to pounce on us. Daniel did not interfere with their way of life. They interfered with his way of life. And the church and government is a separate thing. We try not to interfere with their way of life. Leave them alone. You don't mess with them. You don't mess with those people. You don't mess with their government. All you do is teach your people the God government of the Word of God, that they should believe the Word of God, that God's kingdom is not of this world, and that their mind should be on Christ. And they're not to follow after the tree of knowledge. They're to follow after the tree of life. Because his world is a spiritual world. God is a spirit. And his man is a spiritual man. And his woman is a spiritual woman. And all of these bodies, though they're natural to you, it's because of the fall. But all of this is going to pass away. It's vanity. God hath more than a dustling creature. From the dust thou art, to the dust they shall return. But you're going to be a spiritual being. There's a spiritual body. God is a spirit. He's a quickening spirit. And he's wanting to change you to the quickening spirit. That's what he wanted to do with Adam and Eve. And now the process is as to this time. And so then we're trying to explain in just a little measure tonight what it means as to answering Daniel to the change. Why don't the change come? Because he is your performance. And we're waiting for that change. Job said, I'll wait for my change. We're waiting for the application of our performance. That is, our diplomacy is him. When he comes forth, he will present our perfection. When he comes forth, that will be our works. Our works right now are full of flaws. But when he comes, he'll mark them all out. And he'll say, they're flawless. I find no fault in this man because it's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God will do. So there's no fault because you're his body. But until he's presented in that body, you will have fault. The world will find fault with you, but God finds no fault in you because in his foreknowledge he made you perfect. So the time is going to come when you're going to have the presentation of your perfection, for he has perfected you forever by that one body. That is your perfection. And when it comes, nothing can stop you from being changed. Well, let's stand together. We're trying to get the members together. All the members have to come out from among the world. And as long as they're out there in the world, we have to suffer the just for the unjust, because all of the devastations that's upon Satan is striking, and the blood on the seat of atonement gives them protection when it's really your protection. And God is angry with the wicked every day and will pursue them till they perish from off the face of the earth. Their prayers are abomination in his sight. Their offerings are abomination in his sight. Praise is comely for the upright. So they get our benefits while we get their sorrows. See, but we have to stay here till the last ones come out from among them, as to the last generation. And once they come out, then everything's at a great finale. See, it's all finished then. And the blood will come off the seat of atonement. and that'll be it. But until the last ones come out, we have to tolerate their mannerism. Now, try to be a lady. Try to be a gentleman. You know, in the South, they used to have ladies and gentlemen, and they really were ladies and gentlemen. Try to have something in the way of posterity to the early American way of life as to the true government of God, restore that once belonged to our forefathers that they gave us as a heritage. And let's have decency and let's be upright. And folks, we all stumble. I'm the first to admit my faults and shortcomings and that I'm less than nothing. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. There's room at the cross for you. Can you sing that with me? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. The altars are open. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. For at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. For at the cross, where we first saw the light and the burdens of our heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. When we sing these little choruses, we give you invitation to come to God or to call on the name of the Lord. The Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you've never made the commitment unto God, make it. Paul said, I am persuaded to believe that God is able to keep that which I've committed against that to him against that great day. He's able to keep it. And God is able to keep it. His hand is not short that he cannot reach you. His ear is not dull that he cannot hear you, but thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God. It is God's pleasure to bless you and give you the good things of life. And if you want the good things of life, you can have the good things of life, but you're going to have to yield your life and yield your spirit and be concerned about God's way of life. And if you do that, God will bless you. As we sing another little chorus or two, you're welcome to lift your hand and close your eyes and be partakers of the benefits of Christ. For it is in God's house that you find this wonderful blessing of God and find this freedom of the Spirit, for the anointing breaks the yoke. And when the yoke is broken, then you have chance and opportunity. When this light is lifted, and it'll soon be gone. Once it's lifted and gone, you'll never have a chance to come to God. Though the world might have millions, billions of people in it, once the blood comes off the seat of atonement, it doesn't matter. No one can come to God. It'll all be over, because no man can come to the Father except he draw them. You cannot come to the Son except the Spirit of God draw you. And you cannot get to the Spirit of God except you go through the atonement as the rock of our salvation, which is the blood atonement of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll accept nobody except through that blood. That's the only righteousness there is. And if you want God, then you got to have His Spirit, because His Spirit is life, and without that Spirit, there's no life. As I was telling somebody yesterday, they were talking to me about this. I said, just supposing that the Spirit came to you and the Spirit walked up and said to the body, I have plans for you. And the body said back to the Spirit, I'm going to do my own thing. I've got plans for myself. And the Spirit says, good day, and turns around and walks off and leaves. Then where is the body? The Bible said the body without the Spirit is dead. And the Spirit is life. And when the body doesn't yield to the Spirit, then the body dies. So you don't have any plans. You don't have any programs. You can't do anything without me, Jesus said. You can't do anything without the Spirit. Your body will be dead. So when the Spirit comes and He bids you come, say yes, yes, yes. And let the Spirit of God come into your heart and let Him take your body and yield your body to the Spirit that your body might continue to live, because the body doesn't have any plans without the Spirit, because there is no life. Without the Spirit, there's no life. So if you've got programs and plans for your body and you've got your own mind, then just remember your mind hath caused you to be alienated from the wealth and God life, and that you will die. You will die because there's no life without the Spirit. So you can do your thing and do all that you want to do, but you can be sure that you will die. You can have your businesses. You can go your way of life. You can plan your programs. You can spend money. You can be zealous in the flesh. You can be interested in the things of the world, but you will die. You will die. Remember that you're already dead. Somebody says, will I die? You're already dead. To be carnally minded is death. The mere fact that your mind is in that state as to those things and that interest, you're already dead. And not only that, but you'll continue on till you kill the soul, and then the root of the tree will die. You'll be twice dead and plucked up by the root. If you're going to do anything in the world, first get the Spirit, which is the Word and the mind of God and His love, and do all things as unto the Lord, and do them for the purpose of the Lord, and be interested only in the things of God, to labor that you might give your life and time and strength, your understanding, your abilities, your talents, and your substance to God, and dedicate your life to God. And if you do that, everything will be well with you. If you don't do that, then you'll die. You'll die. To be carnally minded is death. So while we sing these little choruses, you're invited to give your life to God. Jesus has the table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites the chosen people, come and dine. With His manner He doth feed and supplies your every need. Oh, it's sweet to sup with the Savior all the time. Come and dine, my Master's calling. Remember now, Jesus is at the door knocking, saying, open the heart's door to me and I'll come in and sup with you. Open the heart's door and I'll come in and sup with you. He wants to. He has the table spread, and this is the feast of charity, to feast upon the body of Christ, to drink of His blood, to eat His flesh. Disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command, for the Master called unto them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus He satisfies the hungry every time. Oh, come and dine, the Master's call, come and dine. And you can feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitudes turned those waters into wine. To the hungry calling now, come and dine. Listen to this one now. Soon the Lamb will take His bride to be ever at His side. All the host of heaven will assemble thee. Oh, it will be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they shall feast eternally. So come and dine, my Master's calling,
come and dine. Oh, you can feast at my Lord's table all the time. He who fed the multitudes and turned the waters into wine, to the hungry's calling now. Can you sing it one more time with me? Oh, come and dine, my master's calling, come and dine. Oh, you can feast at my Lord's table all the time. May you fed the multitudes, he turned the waters into wine. Hungry's calling now, come and dine. Sing that more time. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assemble thee. Oh, it'll be a glorious sight, all those saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Oh, come and dine, my master's calling, come and dine. Oh, you can't.